Our Lady of Grace homilies are brought to you by a generous parishioner who encourages you to join in prayer for mission churches worldwide. Explore the Frontiers of Faith podcast for further insights into these missions.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today the gospel story that we hear begins speaking of two disciples who find themselves in the midst of the 12, recounting what had taken place to them on the way. Last Sunday, during Divine Mercy Sunday, we heard the story of Thomas, who was incredulous at our Lord, and we skipped over Luke's presentation of what those two disciples heard and saw on the way. It's the story of the road to Emmaus, one that I'd like to dive into a little bit today to put our gospel into proper context. The story of the road to Emmaus is one of the most fascinating found in the Gospel of Luke. And it begins this way. That very day, the first day of the week, that day being the day of resurrection. Easter Sunday is the day when the road to Emmaus takes place. The first Easter Sunday, the literal day of the resurrection. Jesus has risen from the dead, but no one knows it yet. A few women saw some angels, they told the disciples. But everything is still kind of shrouded in that mid-morning mystery. The facts aren't clear. Second, it says two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. What had occurred on Easter Sunday morning? Well, they're coming out of Holy Week. These disciples, who are students or followers of Jesus, just witnessed someone that they loved and knew personally enter triumphantly into Jerusalem. And then to their eyes, they saw him get tricked, captured, tortured, and publicly executed in a shameful fashion. They had given up lives to follow this man. And in this week, they saw all of their hopes evaporate. And that's what they were talking about. The loss of their hope. Who were these two disciples? There's a lot of speculative guesses that different theologians and saints and doctors of the church have proffered across the centuries. But based on the evidence of the text, I believe the most convincing proposition from our tradition is that these disciples were actually a married couple. We know that one of them is named Cleopas, says so in the story, and that on Good Friday, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was one of the women who stood by the cross as Jesus died. It would make sense then that the two of them would leave the city together just 3 days later, and that together they would discuss everything that had happened, everything they'd seen as they went away sad. Ironically, Jesus himself approaches them, but their eyes are kept from seeing that it is Jesus. So he plays with them a little bit. "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they stopped, looking downcast or sad. They respond, again, ironically, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" He continues leading them on. "What sort of things?" And then they unleash. They tell him all that they know, and they end by saying, "But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel." Pay attention to the way that they said that. Not in the present tense, in the past. "We were hoping, but now we're not anymore." One of my friends who teaches scripture in a seminary out in Denver interpreted the story in simpler words for me and really brought it home. He said it in a way that made me wonder how many times this same scene has played out throughout the ages. Here's a married couple who thought, as they followed Jesus, that all of their hopes and dreams and desires would be fulfilled. They put everything on the line for this man in faith. But guess what? He's dead. And now they're leaving Jerusalem. What are they leaving? Who's in Jerusalem? The apostles, the church. And now this couple who found themselves disappointed and let down in their faith, with their hopes evaporated, were walking away from the church. They were leaving, looking sad. "We thought this was it. This would fix everything. We didn't get what we wanted. We're let down. There was a cross involved. It's hard." But Jesus meets them precisely in this space. And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." Little Catholic trivia for you. Does anyone know, according to the church, exactly what in the scriptures, the Old Testament, refers to Jesus? Everything, everything refers to Jesus. That's why in Catholic schools, you can always assume that Jesus is going to be the right answer. Everything refers to Jesus. So here, walking with these two disciples, Jesus opens up the scriptures to them, teaching them everything that referred to him, which was all of the scriptures. Can you imagine walking with Jesus and just having the best Bible study that has literally ever been taught, answering every question, connecting every dot, making sense of everything? And so surely at the end of this walk, surely after hearing the best homily in the world, they look up and they get it, right? And they say, "Oh, because you're Jesus." No, they don't. Actually, still they don't see. But they are intrigued, intrigued enough to invite him to stay with them that evening, which he does. And so while they were at supper, he took, blessed, broke, and gave bread, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Interesting to note that given that this pair is a husband and wife, a man and a woman, they bring the story of salvation history right back to the beginning, where another pair, man and woman, ate something, had their eyes opened, and then walked away sad. Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, had their eyes opened, but not in a way that made them see more clearly. Rather, as Catholic scripture commentators will note, they saw that they had received a dreadful wound when their eyes were opened, even in their natural perfections, and that their soul was despoiled of grace, which of themselves they could never regain. In other words, they saw that their nature had changed, twisted, and they were ashamed. But Pope St. Leo the Great notes that in Emmaus, their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread, opened far more happily to the sight of their own glorified humanity than were the eyes of our first parents to the shame of their sin. Indeed, that blessed company had a great and inexpressible cause for joy when it saw man's nature rising above the dignity of the whole heavenly creation, above the ranks of angels, above the exalted status of archangels. In other words, at Emmaus, they also saw their nature changing. But as a direct inverse of the experience of Adam and Eve, they saw their nature exalted, and relationship with God was restored. All of this was the story of the road to Emmaus that so amazed these two disciples that through the night, they ran 7 miles and they got back to Jerusalem just in time to announce to all the other disciples what had taken place and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. They had just heard everything in the Old Testament that referred to Jesus. They just saw him actually and sacramentally, and they were so moved that they went to go tell people by it. And then when they got there, while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were terrified because they thought it was a ghost. He just was like, "Hi, I'm Jesus," a second ago. And already they've forgotten. And this should be at least a little bit encouraging to you and to me. Because how many times have you gone to a Bible study? How many times have you been like, "You know what I need to do more of this year? Read my Bible." And so you pull open your podcast and you listen to Father Mike Schmitz break open the scriptures for you. And you have this realization and it's amazing. And you're like, "Oh my gosh, did you know Jesus was this way? My life is different." And you come to Mass every Sunday for like a long time. You even go a couple times on a daily Mass. And you're like, "Wow, Jesus is so real and so present." And then something happens. You mess something up, or you sleep through an alarm, or you feel sick or unworthy, and you forget. And that impression that was made on you, it seems only a moment ago, starts to fade away from your mind. And then God stops liking you, right? From then on, sorry, it's too bad, so sad. You're not allowed to anything anymore. You might as well just stay away for good. For everyone paying attention at home on the podcast, I'm speaking facetiously. No, that's not the way of it at all, but those are the lies that we tell ourselves in our heads. Forgetful as are the disciples, we condemn ourselves to be separate from him. But do you see what he keeps doing on the road to Emmaus as he's supposedly fallen dead? He rises again and he reveals himself in the midst of the sadness of the people. And as they're still speaking about him, he appears yet again, aware of their already diminishing faith. So that once again, he can reveal himself, the one thing, the one person worth knowing, so that once again, they can be encouraged and find themselves in a communion that it feels might be perpetually slipping through our fingers. But by his representation, he makes our grasp strong so that remembering him, we can hold on and remember ourselves as well. All of this to say, my friends, that this gospel story is eminently relatable. How many people have shared the experience of these two disciples? How many have been disappointed in their faith? How many thought they had lost the Lord? And how many have found him once again? He teaches, he reveals, he walks with us and gives himself in the breaking of the bread. He reveals himself as present perpetually in the Eucharist. And in this place, he brings our salvation to bear for seeing him in this sacrament as you are about to do. We cannot help but see that our hopes are not dead and gone, they're still alive. Perhaps he introduces us to a new hope, even more solid than the ones upon which we had staked our faith before. Now, in the wake of the resurrection, our nature is changed. Eternity is opened, and we are reunited to the resurrection, soaring upward. Nor is there any limit to our upward course. We can keep going. We can keep hoping. The disciples felt their hearts burning within them and so had courage to return once again to the church that they knew, full of expectation, because Christ, their hope, was not dead. He was alive. Today in this Mass, as the bread is broken, when you hear the words, "Behold the Lamb of God," may your eyes be opened. May you recognize him. See your nature change, and may your hearts burn with the Easter hope. Amen.